Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kim Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on South Africa's GDP performance for the third quarter. Disappointing decline. A lot of that decline due to a massive fall off in agricultural production. So I think we need to unpack some of that and what it means for the growth estimates this year, next year. The second topic, I think, is the US employment data. During the week, we had the usual array of employment reports for the US economy more broadly. And overall, you would say the US labor market is in very good condition. The data seems fairly strong. So I think we can unpack that in a little bit of detail. Unfortunately, during the third quarter of the year, South Africa's GDP declined by 0.3%. That's measured quarter on quarter. The market was expecting a small increase. I know we were looking for growth of plus 0.3%. So that is actually a fairly significant miss to the downside. If we break down the GDP performance, we can see very clearly that most of the weakness was due to a massive decline in agricultural production. During the quarter, Stats SA said agriculture fell by 28% quarter on quarter. That's huge. That's suggesting that the agriculture sector lost almost a third of its total economic output in just 3 months. It certainly seems excessive. Obviously, Stats SA is referring to the reduction in the maize crop. If we look at the maize production for this year, it came in at around roughly 12.5 million tons. And if we go back to last year, it was sitting at roughly 16.5 million tons. So a 4 million ton reduction in maize production, both white and yellow maize. That is effectively a 22% decline in the maize crop. And obviously Stats SA is using that as their main component in reflecting agriculture production declining by 28%. For me, the problem with it is that the decline in the maize crop is a year-on-year fall. It's not a quarter-on-quarter decline. Yet that reduction was put through in a period of just 3 months. And so it exaggerates the decline over a very short time period, resulting in a massive fall off in South Africa's GDP performance for the quarter relative to what was expected. What that means for South Africa's growth going forward is that it's very difficult now for South Africa to achieve a 1% growth rate for calendar 2024. At this stage, you would be more comfortable forecasting a growth outcome of around about 0.6%, maybe 0.7%. That's actually pretty much in line with the previous year's growth rate or even slightly below that. And that has to be considered very disappointing. And even if we look at that 0.6 or 0.7% for this year, in order to get that outcome, we do need some recovery in agriculture in the final quarter of the year. I think that's feasible. And then we need a significant outperformance by the retail sector as a result of the two-pot withdrawal. Now, we think that will materialize because we expect that a lot of the two-pot withdrawal, which is estimated at about 50 billion rand, a lot of that would have been spent around Black Friday and then into the Christmas period. And so that's going to give the retail sector a significant boost, which will obviously feed into South Africa's GDP estimate. But even with that, we're still only forecasting that the South African economy grew at 0.6 or 0.7% this year. Now, if we go back to March of this year, that's when load shedding stopped, and we were assured that load shedding was taking away a significant component of South Africa's economic performance. But having stopped load shedding back in March, this economy has made very little progress since then, which then highlights that certainly electricity is not the only impediment to South Africa's growth performance. And that without a pickup in infrastructure development, particularly private public partnerships, without an encouragement of the business sector and therefore higher business confidence, it's going to be very difficult for South Africa to meaningfully lift the growth rate to say, let's say, more than 2%. And even if we lift the growth rate to around about 1.5%, that's actually only in line with the population growth rate. So we're just not doing enough to generate enough enthusiasm domestically and to get fixed investment and employment going. I do think the environment post the announcement of the GNU is more optimistic, and we can see that in some of the data and we can see that in some of the market performance, but it's not enough. Having a higher degree of confidence or a slightly elevated improvement in sentiment is good, but it needs to be translated into actual investment and employment, and we're not doing enough to get ourselves into that position. I do think the interest rate cuts as we go into next year will help. I think the base effect next year will also help. And obviously, we're hoping that there will be more progress on some of the infrastructure projects. We've got a growth rate next year that sits at about 1.7, 1.8%, and that would be a sizable improvement on where we are at the moment. But I need to keep referencing the population growth of close on 1.5%. So even if we generate a GDP performance at one that is around 1.8%, it's still really not enough. It's not going to result in a significant uplift in living conditions within South Africa or in income per capita, if you like. So for me, the GDP data needs to be a wake-up call for government to say we've got to do a lot more than we're doing at the moment. We can't simply rely on two-pot withdrawal and interest rate cuts in order to boost this economy. We need to make sure that some of our private-public partnership plans are implemented with a higher degree of urgency. If we can make progress on that in that area, then I think there's an opportunity for South Africa's growth rate to surprise on the upside. But we've got to see that being implemented before we can get optimistic. So in the short term, unfortunately, a disappointing growth outlook that probably gets a bit better next year, but we need more in order to get really enthusiastic about the turnaround in the South African economy. The states released an array of labour market data last week, including the weekly jobless claims, the ADP employment report, which is the private sector estimate of employment, the job openings data, as well as the main monthly labour market report. Obviously, all of that together is telling us or giving us some insight into the underlying strength of the US labour market, and I must say it's compellingly strong. During the month of November, the U.S. added 227,000 jobs. That was a bit more than expected. The market was anticipating an increase of around about 200,000 jobs. In addition, the previous 2 months were revised higher by, I think, about 50, 60,000 jobs. So if you combine the two, that's a sizable improvement in the employment situation. In terms of a breakdown, we can see that most sectors continue to add jobs. You would say that there is a higher increase going on within the services sector versus the productive sectors. Generally, industrial production in the US is under a bit of pressure, and most of the strength in the US economy relates to services activity. But if we break down the services sector, there's employment across a range of industries, including healthcare, education, leisure and hospitality. And I would say broadly a solid increase or a sustaining of labour market conditions. The only area where there's a bit of weakness creeping in is the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate has drifted up now to 4.2%. The market was expecting the unemployment rate to remain unchanged at 4.1%. And if you go back a year, the US had an unemployment rate that was closer to 3.7%. So some moderate increase in the level of unemployment, but I think that is very acceptable at 4.2%. That is still a very decent, a very strong level of unemployment. How does that occur when you've got an economy that is creating close on 200,000 jobs on a monthly basis? Some of it relates to a decline in the labor market participation rate, which is essentially people making different choices about retirement or about engaging with work conditions or just deciding to not enter the labor market. And so as the participation rate declines, it tends to exaggerate or exacerbate the unemployment rate. as I say, I think it's very manageable, and I don't think it's something to be overly concerned about. And very clearly, if the US economy can keep adding, let's say 150,000 jobs or a little bit more than that every month, then clearly economic performance will remain strong. You'll be able to avoid any meaningful slowdown in economic activity. You'll certainly be able to avoid a recession. And generally, that's good for economic performance that feeds into company earnings. So, a good set of data. I think where there will be an increased debate is what does that mean for interest rates? Obviously, the data out of the US suggests that economic activity is fairly vibrant, and therefore the Federal Reserve will have to think clearly about the path of interest rates during the course of next year. At the same time, the inflation data in the US has remained a little bit sticky, a little bit elevated, a bit above what was expected a few months ago. And so the combination of still strong economic performance and slightly elevated inflation will cause the Federal Reserve to adopt a fairly cautious approach to the path for interest rates, which I think translates into less interest rate cuts during the course of next year and much more of a wait and see approach by the Federal Reserve. In addition, they need to ascertain what President Trump is going to implement. Obviously, some of the policies Trump talks about could be inflationary, particularly the import duties. But you can't be entirely sure at this stage what of Trump's policies are likely to be implemented and what sort of effect that is going to have on pricing within the US. And so that feeds into an additional reason to be cautious from the Federal Reserve. The net result of this is a fairly modest, a fairly shallow path in terms of interest rate cuts, and but at least a vibrant economy that looks sustainably able to generate a growth rate in excess of 2%. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.